At the heart of today's readings, we find people hearing God speaking. We've got Philip, we heard in the gospel, who left his old life behind when Jesus said, "Come and follow me." Nathanael, who thought he couldn't possibly hear God's voice in this young preacher from Nazareth, and a really young boy, Samuel, who heard the voice of God calling him while he was asleep in bed. I guess we all struggle with how God speaks, whether God actually speaks to us in a way that we can hear, because in my experience, it's never ever written up in lights in the sky. It'd be amazing if God's voice came to us like that, wouldn't it? Or like those smoke trails we see behind planes. Take that job. Take up that risky new opportunity. But sometimes when I've been searching for some insight, it has felt a bit as if God is silent. There have been times when I thought I heard God's voice, but it later kind of came to me that really I was listening to my own voice and what I wanted to do. But the whole thrust of Scripture reminds us that God is a communicating being who is always speaking into our lives. Jesus is always calling us to come and see. The Christian life is one long call to discipleship of Jesus saying over and over again, "Come and see." But then asking us to actually follow the way of Christ. Come, know that you're loved, and then be willing to pass that love along. Scripture is full of God speaking. At the creation of the world, God spoke into the blackness and the nothingness, and suddenly there was light and life. The theologian Karl Barth once wrote that human history began with God speaking. "Adam, where are you? What have you done?" We focus so much on our questions of God. Do you exist? Who are you? Where are you? Why do you allow suffering? Are you good? But God's questions of us can be much more interesting. In fact, God is better at asking us questions than in giving answers. What are you doing with your gifts? What are you doing about the suffering of those around you? Are you choosing to be compassionate and merciful even when you don't feel like it or you don't think they deserve it? Are you choosing to live differently to the way the world demands? Well, first today we have Samuel, who was just a little boy when he heard God calling him. That reminds us that there are no age limits or in any form for God speaking, old or young. We know his story. He was a child of promise, an answer to his mother's desperate prayer for a child, and she gave him back to God to serve in the temple when he was very little. Samuel's in bed and starting to fall asleep when he heard a voice calling his name. And it sounded like a human voice, so he ran to Eli, the old priest, until Eli realized it had to be God's voice that Samuel was hearing. And he told him what to say. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Sometimes it takes other people to point out that the voice we're hearing might actually be God's voice, that persistent voice that doesn't go away. Today's psalm puts it into perspective. God's thoughts towards us are constant and vast. They number more than the grains of the sand. God has known us. God's been communicating with us since before we were born. I think it's pretty mind-blowing to realise that God's call on our lives, this call to follow me, has been there since we were being formed in the darkness of our mother's womb. I find that totally mind-blowingly amazing. Way back then, God began to speak to us. All the initiative in this communication is on God's side. God searches us out. God pursues us. God speaks to us. God calls us. God always has. And God never stops. And then in today's gospel, we have this epiphany moment, or one of those moments when our eyes get opened to something new and unexpected. Or in Nathaniel's case, when God broke through into his ordinary, regular, everyday life and confronts him with something right outside his comfort zone. As he was calling disciples to walk with him, Jesus came to Galilee and he found Philip and he said, "Come and follow me. Come and see." And like Andrew and Peter and James and John, Philip put his life on hold, set out on a journey in a very different direction to the one he thought he'd been going on, following this Jesus. Well, Philip rushes off to get his friend Nathaniel, saying, "Come and see. Come, we found the promised one. Come and see." The Epiphany season reminds us that helping people to hear God's voice in the world, helping them to know that in Jesus God is with us and we're loved, is our mission. Passing on love is our mission. Nathaniel's not convinced when he hears this. How could he possibly hear the voice of God in a young upstart carpenter from Nazareth of all places? It didn't fit into any of his possibility boxes. "How can anything good come out of Nazareth?" he famously says. Or how can we trust this simple, ordinary voice? Nathaniel wants God's voice to be grand and to be obvious. And his prejudice almost gets in the way and stops him hearing. But then suddenly, miraculously, Nathaniel realizes that he's completely known, that he's deeply and intimately known by this man whom he'd never ever met. Sometimes God does speak to us from unexpected places and through very unlikely people, just where we least expect it, if we can put our prejudices aside and be open to it. The very simple message that Philip brought to Nathaniel was, "Come and see." If you want to know what God's like, then search out all the academic books and take on years of study, interesting though that may be. It's not, well, you have to go on a long and arduous pilgrimage to find enlightenment. You don't have to be smart or rich or powerful. It's just simply, come and see. Come and see who this Jesus is. Come and find the one who is the living presence of God in the world. Come and see the one who's able to transform everything about us and our lives. Set us out on a new path. Thomas Merton wrote that God is not an object to be believed in. God is a presence in and around us, a presence we find in silence. I'm going to say that again because that's made an impression on me. God isn't an object to be believed in. God is a presence in and around us, and we find that presence in silence. The prophet Elijah in the Old Testament was depressed and afraid. His ministry was in ruins. His life was threatened. And he cried out to God, "Where are you? What are you doing to me?" God's answer to Elijah came as a surprise as he stood there in the mountains. There was this great wind so powerful that it split rocks. But God wasn't in the wind. There was an earthquake so strong that it shook the ground under his feet. But God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a ferocious fire that raged all around him with its heat and its noise. But God wasn't in the fire. Then the voice of God came to him in the sound of sheer silence. just a still small voice that could easily be overlooked or ignored. Calm voice that came to him in the silence and into all his anxiety and fear with the question, Elijah, what are you doing? What are you thinking? I'm with you. In silence, we find that God is not an object to be believed in, but a presence with us, surrounding us, before us and behind us. Responding to God's voice is often risky. It might mean setting out on an unknown journey with only God to guide us. It might mean listening to God's voice coming from a very unexpected place or in a very unexpected way that we're not sure we can trust. Come and see, Jesus says. And then when you see, come and follow me. This following is entirely different from being good churchgoers. Entirely different from getting involved in church politics or spending our lives doing church jobs, important as those things are, and I'm not trying to discourage you from that. This voice doesn't call us to be religious, but to be followers of the one who shows us a completely different way to be in the world. A path of humility and peace, a path of kindness, of compassion, of love. So as here we face another year unsure of where it's going in a world that's full of noise and fear and doubt, that's overflowing with injustice and pain and war and violence, where we never know if another pandemic or another war is around the corner, we're reminded to listen out for that voice of God that speaks out of the stillness. The voice that is heard in the stillness at the centre of our being, that calls us to a trusting peace. Our mission in the world, this following, is perhaps about being a non-anxious presence in a very anxious world. A long time ago, a lifetime ago, in 1939 at Christmas, with all the uncertainty of war breaking out across the world and a completely unknown future, George VI spoke to the nation and he quoted this poem. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God that shall be better to you than a light and safer than a known way." The God Elijah found when he was completely desperate didn't speak out of the ferocity of the fire, didn't speak out of the noise of the wind or the earthquake, awesome as they were. But in the calm voice that came from the silence deep within, saying, "I am with you no matter what." That's our hope for the future. Not that everything will be Pollyanna fine, but that God is with us no matter what. And when we know that deep in our being, then all shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. The Lord be with you.